ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Hare Krishna. I was scheduled to speak about pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, but then I was requested to speak about practicing Krishna consciousness for students, considering as there are many students here, and that I also preach quite a lot to students in India. I also thought to speak about practicing Krishna consciousness at home, as we also have Leela Katha, Ram Katha, going on. How many students are here? A lot of students. And other devotees who are living at home? Alright, so many of the concerns of students and Grihastha devotees living at home are the same. So I want to talk about that, but I want to have some interaction with you also to see if I'm striking the right chord. You know what I mean? Yeah, okay. Now I know many of you may be shy to speak in front of so many people. So at some point I'm going to ask for some feedback, for questions from you, comments, points of clarification. So what you could do, I see you've all come with your notepads, very nice. You're all very serious to learn. So you can write, if you have any question, you can write it down on a piece of paper and it can be sent up here, and then we can have the discussion going on from there. Now this is very nice that all over the world we see that many students are taking to Krishna consciousness. Once in London, I think it was a newspaper, someone asked Prabhupada, that how is it there are so many young people in your movement? Prabhupada didn't directly answer the question, but he asked that, why are there so many people, young people in the universities? So the person replied, well, that is the age for learning. And Prabhupada said, that is the reason why there are so many young people in this movement. Because Krishna consciousness is something to be learned. Now, you can learn about Krishna consciousness at any age. One of the first things we learn in Krishna consciousness is that we're not young or old. We're not this body. And anyone can take to Krishna consciousness at any time in life. But often we find throughout the world that younger people, or those who are in bodies that have not aged so much yet, take to Krishna consciousness because generally younger minds are more inquisitive, and especially before someone gets entangled in family life with ato griha kshetra sutata vitai janasya moho yamahamamiti, the bewilderment of identifying not only with this body but with other bodies also, and with home, family, friends, country, children, money. Then before someone becomes entangled in all these things, the mind tends to be fresh, inquisitive. Often very young children ask very intelligent questions. Where have we come from? In England they used to reply, we found you in a gooseberry patch. Gooseberry, well, you could say in Yugoslavia, Croatia, we have blueberries. So we found you in a blueberry bush. So it's not a very intelligent or fulfilling answer. Generally young people will, especially those who are more intellectual, intelligent, they will ask questions. What is the purpose of life? What should I be doing with my life? It's a very important question. Nowadays, in the modern age, I was discussing this actually with a man, and I was sitting on the plane last night with a man and his wife, and behind us were their children, from Croatia, living in Canada. And I was very happy to find, he was about the same age as me, I guess, in his 40s. He also, he agreed that the whole thrust of modern society is to make people fools. The whole television, the whole mass media, of course it hasn't come with full force yet in these countries, but don't worry, it's coming. Or do worry, it's coming. Worry a lot. Worry intensely. So, what did they show? Sex and violence and sports and stupid movies with no meaning. And this just makes people intellectually dull because their senses are always being titillated. There's always something to watch on TV, always some sound you can put on your headphones and listen to some banging sound which makes your brain become flattened out. Bang, 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 smashes on your brain. So the whole modern society is just to, even though it develops the intelligence, we see they're intelligent people, they're intelligent, they can make computers and space rockets and all these things. But the fine intelligence that will inquire into what is the purpose of life, that is being removed by modern society, by the whole way of modern life. And you'll see that in the countries which open up to America and the so-called, you can say that America is now the cultural leader of the world, or not actually culture, for want of a better word, we have to say culture. Culture in the terms of way of life. But what kind of culture is that? What are the first things that come when these countries open up their economic boundaries to America? The first thing that comes, just like in Russia, the first company that got established in Russia, first American company, who knows? McDonald's has come, a great contribution to the Russian way of life. And don't worry, Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola will be coming soon to contribute to your, to what? Contribute? To contribute to removing the money from your pockets, whatever little money you get, if you're lucky to get any. So, and the whole thing, Tom and Jerry, Mickey Mouse, then Hollywood movies, makes you dull. And underlying all this gross materialism is skepticism about the existence of God, the spiritual content of life. Even if people believe in God, no one is inclined to, in this materialistic society, no one is inclined to try to understand God. Simply lip service. God bless us. That's all. So that we can become healthy, wealthy, and foolish. So in young age, those who are more fortunate have some intelligence. Young age, any age. But generally find young people more inquisitive about these things. So actually, do we have to go along with this? Is this really all there is to life? Simply getting a degree, getting a job? Fortunately, very fortunately, Srila Prabhupada has provided us with the answer. No, not only is this not the goal of life, simply to eat, sleep, mate and defend, but the goal of life is something far more elevated than this. The goal of life is to understand God. Prabhupada has brought us the information, who is God, and how to attain to Him, and not simply in a superficial way. Dear God, give us our daily bread. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, keep on sending the bread. One prayer a week's enough. One prayer every 7 days. But Prabhupada has given us the quest for God, pure devotional service, that we should be mad for God. We should be so much desirous. There's nothing besides this. Of course we have, as long as we're in this material world, we also have social considerations. Those who are studying at the college, they have scholastic considerations. Those who are married have family considerations. But the overwhelmingly important consideration is how to understand God. That is the most important thing. Besides which, everything else becomes insignificant. So, Prabhupada has very kindly given this knowledge, which wasn't here in the Western countries. Scientific knowledge of God. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that this knowledge of God is called the science of God. Vijnana means science. Bhagavat Tattva means the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By understanding which, one becomes liberated from all material attachments. So that is now being taught in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. These books are being distributed. Seminars such as these are being held. Regular classes are being held. And gradually the facility for understanding this is increasing as our movement progresses more and more. There will be more correspondence courses and more courses in different towns. So that will expand more and more. And more our movement will become accepted and is becoming accepted. But practicing Krishna consciousness at home or in the college hostel, do most of the students live in hostels or in their homes? Who lives in hostels? Not many. Which students live in their homes still? Mostly you live in your, and well, that leaves a lot of others. Where else is there? In the hostel, yeah, that means living away from home in a rented room with some family like that, something like that. A lot of students do that too. Anyway, somewhat of a dilemma is there. Living a spiritually centered life, Krishna conscious life, within the materialistic society. So different difficulties and problems arise. Now, like I said, I'm mostly preaching in India, but I'm sure that many of the difficulties are similar. One of them is living among people who don't understand Krishna consciousness. Now, people who don't understand Krishna consciousness, they fall into different categories. There's a whole spectrum. There are those who are against Krishna consciousness. Fortunately, there are not so many of them, those people who are very much against. There are others who are very favorable. There are others who don't care at all. There are others who are tolerant. And so in between there are different kinds of people. But mostly people, they find it difficult to understand. For instance, people will ask that, why don't you go to parties? Because our Krishna conscious devotees, they won't go to parties. No, we don't have a party, no. Krishna conscious party. They're not very much attracted to it. And that's one thing. And another thing is that it's very bad for our Krishna consciousness to mix intimately with materialistic people in such a materialistic way. So how do we live in this world practicing Krishna consciousness among people that don't understand? Now, actually, I just the other day I was speaking to a smaller group of students in Ljubljana. Now, one thing which will make it easier for devotees who are living at home or living as students is from the very beginning to let others know that you are a devotee of Krishna. If you try to hide it, it will be more difficult. People will ask, well, why don't you go to parties? Sometimes you may want to make an excuse, well, I'm busy, or I'm not feeling well. There may be many excuses made, but if at the beginning, as you say, I'm a devotee of Krishna, and we don't drink, and we don't smoke and all these things. So they may think you're very strange, but it will save you a lot of difficulties. Now, it is difficult in the sense that people will think we are strange, because according to what they call ordinary normal people, Krishna conscious people are strange. It requires our devotees to be convinced, and it must take a good level. It's very nice to see all of you here, that you have a good level of conviction by which you're going on with your Krishna consciousness in difficult circumstances. Undoubtedly, it is more difficult to be Krishna conscious in the living in the home or in the hostel. It is more difficult to be Krishna conscious than if you live in an ashram where the whole environment is protected. In the ashram, the devotees who you're living with, the people who you're living with, they don't ask you to go to parties. They don't ask you to come and drink some beer or wine. So the atmosphere is protective. There's someone there to get you up in the morning. There's a lot of kirtan. There's regular classes. Undoubtedly, living at home or living in the student life, it is more difficult. That requires a good level of conviction. So one has to be convinced, otherwise you cannot go on with this. Then how do we become more convinced? Now there are many answers to that. One is to associate with devotees as much as possible, that you are doing. Study Prabhupada's books regularly. But another thing, just to tell people, I am a devotee of Krishna, and therefore we have dedicated our life to an ideal. Therefore we are living this kind of life. Now, that just by saying that, you have to be somewhat convinced to say that. But if you say it, then you do become more convinced by preaching. And then people will ask you, well, why? And then you'll explain. They may accept, they may not accept. But by that preaching, you become strong and you become more convinced. And even if people don't accept, you get those who preach, they get the blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's very good at the very beginning just to tell, I am a devotee of Krishna. Just yesterday I was in Leicester, a city in England. Now, one lady there, she's about, I would guess around 45 years old. She's a taxi driver. I was saying, well, that's a good opportunity for preaching because you meet so many people. And she told me, yes, I wear tilak all the time. So people ask me, what is this? And then I explain, I'm a devotee of Krishna. And we wear this because this is sacred protective marking. And this shows everyone that we're devotees of Krishna. And then people like you ask me, and I speak something about Krishna because preaching is part of our mission. And she keeps some books and prasadam with her, like that. So I was suggesting that she keeps some incense burning all the time. And people will say, oh, that's a nice smell. Then you can say, yes, it's offered to Krishna. But she says she has to go a little slowly, but everyone she injects with a little Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, not everyone is that bold, and it may be different for different people in different circumstances. Just like the other day I was in Bihaj, where the situation for Krishna consciousness... Is he here, Professor? Well, his Krishna consciousness lost him his job. He didn't lose his Krishna consciousness. That would have been much worse. But there may be a case for being diplomatic also. Exactly how to strike the balance, everyone has to see in their own life. Now, a question we often, is a very common question. There are different varieties of this question. How to deal with family members and friends who are not Krishna conscious. It's either, well, I've taken to Krishna consciousness, but my wife isn't. I'm taking to Krishna consciousness and my parents aren't. I'm taking to Krishna consciousness and my mother understands, but my father doesn't. There's all kinds of varieties. Sometimes it's I take into Krishna consciousness and here's my father, my grandfather, my aunt, my uncle, and they're all Krishna conscious too. We don't see so much of that. That's very nice. But this is a very common thing, and sometimes it's very difficult. But the most important point here is perseverance, that a devotee should be convinced about Krishna consciousness, and that he cannot give up Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. Now, exactly how he deals with his family members, that will depend upon the individual devotee living at home, or how he deals with other students. It's the same kind of syndrome. It depends on the individual devotee, his level of conviction, his personality, the attitude of the non-devotees around him. But that conviction, that perseverance to go on, that will be our best asset in the long run. Generally, we find with parents or others, if they're against Krishna consciousness, that after some time they come to accept it. There are many, many such instances. One of our devotees in South India, he came from our youth preaching. So his father was in the army. He is in the army. Now, often the parents, they think, well, it's really terrible, my child became a devotee of Krishna. They won't mind so much if he's a drunkard or a drug addict, because that's kind of normal. But if he becomes a devotee of Krishna, they think there's something very bad. If their child's a drug addict, they don't mind so much. But when he becomes a devotee of Krishna and gives up the drugs, then they become upset. Sometimes we see that also. Because it's not very... One of the reasons is because the parents, they're worried about what their friends and relatives will say. So if your son's a drug addict, the other people, the local people, they don't mind so much because all their sons and daughters are drug addicts also. So what difference does it make? But if he's a devotee of Krishna, they say, oh, there's something wrong with you. You didn't bring up your children properly. You didn't look after them properly. There must be some problem at home, that's why he's become religious. So the parents, they tend to become, not in all cases, but in some cases, they become upset. So in this case, I was talking about this devotee, his father was an army major, and he used to beat his son like anything. He used to beat him severely. But anyway, that devotee, Advaita, I know his name is, he tolerated that. And after some time, his father found that it's no use beating him, so he just gave up beating him. And the son went on chanting Hare Krishna. In this way, he defeated him by tolerance. So generally, we don't expect parents to be so rough, but they may be against us. But anyway, if we stick to our principles, that we go on chanting, it may be very difficult. I remember, before I knew anything about Krishna consciousness, I was trying to become a vegetarian at home. It was very tough because my parents were there and they thought it was horrible. That I didn't want to eat meat or fish or all these things. They're trying to force it on me. If you're strong in your mind and stick to your principles, then ultimately the others will have to accept it. Also, giving prasadam, if your parents can accept, if your parents or wife or husband, whatever it may be, other students, if they will accept it, that is a very great help. Our own behavior, because generally people expect that someone who's taken to a religious path, that their behavior will be very good. I remember as a young child, about 12 years old, I began to doubt the Christianity I was brought up in for various reasons. One of the reasons was because the teachers at school who professed to be Christians, they were just as nasty as those who didn't profess to be Christians. So I thought, well, what difference does it make? Always believing in God, if your character doesn't improve, So one way of preaching, or one way of convincing others about Krishna consciousness is that if, as devotees, our character and our behavior improves. Now, there's one very inspiring story that I read in one magazine which was published from our ISKCON center in Manchester. Manchester's a city in England, maybe you've heard of that. So, there was one devotee living in the temple, and then she went to college to get some diploma in secretarial skills, typing and all different things which secretaries do. So she went with Tilak to college, and she told everyone else, what is it? I'm a devotee of Krishna, and therefore I don't eat meat and all these things. And in the beginning, people, what's this? Well, she explained, and she just lived peacefully. She didn't disturb anyone, and most of the others didn't disturb her. One girl kept on asking her questions. She was inquisitive, and that girl who asked her questions eventually also became an initiated devotee. So it's good to show you're a devotee. You never know who will take an interest. But there was one young man in that class who was nasty. He was always calling her names and insulting her because she was a devotee of Krishna. But anyway, she tolerated it. Then, there's a small incident. One day that boy, he was asking her this, he wanted to borrow a ruler, and no one had it. So this devotee girl said, here, take mine. And he was shocked because every day he made a point of insulting her, but she never said anything to him. And then she responded by helping him, and then after that he changed his attitude and he respected her. So these are just some little hints how we can practice our Krishna consciousness at home. There's a lot of points to be discussed, and I want you to, like I say, give me some questions and feedback. Now, another problem, one problem is the association problem. We're living among materialistic people or those who don't understand Krishna consciousness. They may not be inimical to Krishna consciousness, but they just don't understand it. And it's difficult for them to understand it because not everybody has so much mercy from Krishna that they can understand it. But another problem is balancing our material duties with our spiritual duties, because devotees of Krishna, they have to chant the holy names of Krishna on japa beads. Those who are initiated or seriously aspiring for initiation, they should chant 16 rounds, which takes at least 1.5 hours. They should also study Prabhupada's books, engage in kirtan. They often have to cook because they don't want to eat what the non-devotees cook. As much as possible, devotees should avoid, an important principle of devotional service, to avoid food cooked by non-devotees. But then if you're studying, it also takes a lot of time. If you have a family to look after, it takes a lot of time. If you have a job to do, it takes a lot of time. So how to balance it? Now, there's no easy answer to this question. It is difficult. Admittedly, it is difficult. It requires a lot of determination on the path of those who are living such a life. It requires you to maximize your time, to maximize your time use. You won't have much time for anything else if you have to do your studies or your job or looking after your family. It's quite possible you may not have much time, but at the same time, we cannot give up these practices of Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, we have to find time. And actually, there are many devotees now all over the world who are initiated devotees, who are also doctors, lawyers, students, housewives. So others are doing it. So you can also do it. And even those who are devotees living in the temple, you can also see that it's not that just because you're living in the temple you have so much time. Our devotees who are living in the temple are also often very busy. We have many things to do in Krishna's service. So it's really a matter of planning our time. One good advice to help us sleep less is not to eat heavy meals at night, if you can avoid that. Rising early, that means try to make a schedule for taking rest early, so that we can rise early. That's very conducive. If we can chant our rounds early in the morning, otherwise once the day starts, there are so many different things going on, different disturbances, it may become difficult to chant our rounds. Now, people, they find time to watch TV. I believe in America the average person watches about 5 hours a day. Some fantastic, amazing, aren't they? What goes on? What happens to their minds? Can't imagine. But people find time to watch TV, read newspapers, go to parties. They're inviting you to parties, so they have time for these things. So our devotees should find time to chant their rounds, study Prabhupada's books, engage in kirtan, all these different things. How to do it exactly in your own life, that you have to see. But you have to have the determination to do it and the faith that it is possible by the grace of Krishna. If we try, Krishna will help us. Especially if we try to be Krishna conscious in more difficult circumstances, then that will force us to pray to Krishna more and more for his help. So everyone can become Krishna conscious in any circumstance. It's not limited to devotees living in the temple. You can be a housewife, you can be a taxi driver, you can be a student. Under any circumstances, you can be Krishna conscious. As much as possible, if you can take the opportunity to live closely in the association of devotees, that is very helpful in spiritual life. If you're young and unmarried, you don't have any family commitments, then it's a good idea to spend some time living in the ashram as a full-time devotee to get that experience and training and immersion in Krishna consciousness. Even if you later you go to university or you go to a job or you decide to get married and earn income and all these things, it's a very good idea to spend some time. Just like, do they have the draft in this country? They have the military draft. Yeah, so we should have Krishna conscious draft also. That when you finish school, come for 1 year, live in the temple. As much as possible, if you can do that, that would be a very good experience to help you in your future life in Krishna consciousness. So I just spoken now in a very general way about these topics. Another big thing is how to preach to people. What do they say to you? How should we reply? So I'd like to take some questions now. Yeah, they can either be spoken or written. Spoken it makes a good rapport. So I'm now doing a little advertisement. I've written a few books and I think they'll be sold in. So anyway, that will come later, but just so I remember. So afterwards, I'm going to do a little transcendental book distribution. All right, there's a question, please.
I have a question. As my work should be the association with our both friends, so that we can bring Krishna to their lives, or should we have those relationships and just be the book?
Are you going to translate that? Now, naturally, we're very we're attached to our friends, and certainly we should try to bring them to Krishna consciousness. But we have to see also if they come or not. If they don't, and if by trying to bring them to Krishna consciousness and they don't take any interest, then if we maintain keeping intimate association with them due to some mundane sentiment, then they will, rather than us bringing them up, they will tend to drag us down to the mundane platform. We don't have to be unfriendly with anybody. To everybody we can smile and say, yes, good morning, how are you, good day. But we should not very intimately associate with non-devotees. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the symptom of a Vaishnava? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Asat Sangha Tiyag E Vaishnavacha Stri Sanghi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhaktaa. He said that the first symptom of a devotee is that he gives up the association of non-devotees, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu classified non-devotees in two categories: those who are very much attached to women, those who are out and out non-devotees of Krishna. Now, I'll tell you a little story in this regard from my own experience. I was in one town in South India. I was preaching to one man. Then after some time he wrote me a letter that, is there any way I can serve you? He asked me. So I said, well, if you want to, I don't know what you can do for me, but it's a very good idea. Why don't you distribute Prabhupada's books in your town? So he ordered some books from the BBT and he started doing that. Then after some time he wrote and said to me that, now I'm losing all my friends because I'm distributing these books and they think it's too much. So I wrote back to him and said, don't worry, Krishna will send you new friends. So after some time he wrote and said, yes, after distributing these books, so many people came and asked me questions, and now some of them are chanting rounds, and it's true, I've got new and better friends. So it's better that we, if we don't have friends who are devotees, go on preaching and see that others can become devotees. And actually, all over the world, there is scope for making devotees now. Here in this country, there's very good scope, but actually everywhere. One of my godbrothers just wrote to me, he went to look after his mother in her last days. She was dying. There was no one to look after her. So, he's been a devotee for more than 25 years now. And all this time his mother's been against his being Krishna conscious. But anyway, he went to look after her in her final weeks. And in the last 2 years, she just recently died, in the last 2 years before she passed away, she gradually became more favorable. And just before she died, she was initiated. So that's very nice. Kesha Bharti Prabhu, his mother. Now another thing was that he was living in this small town in California, and dressed as a devotee, and people asked him questions, and he answered them, and then he organized little meetings, and he has a whole group of people there in a small conservative town in California, of people who are like 45 years old, like he is, chanting Hare Krishna. So the scope is there everywhere. Another story from California, from one devotee. He was living on one of our temples, but then he wanted to get married and do a job, so he went to live, and he was living in a conservative suburb of LA or San Diego, some of it. So he used to do his puja and kirtan morning program in his home, in his devotee clothes with tilak. But he never told anyone around that he was a devotee, because he thought, you know, it wouldn't go down well. These, you know, these are just real straight Americans. Anyway, somehow or other, he was doing his Mangal Aarti one morning, and he noticed that some of his neighbors, the curtain was a little bit open, and they were watching. And he thought, So the next time he saw those neighbors on the street, they said, "What was that you were doing on the other morning?" And he said, "Well, you know, I have some." He tried to explain it a little bit, and they said, "Are you members of the Hare Krishna? Are you in the Hare Krishna?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, actually, I'm very interested in that, and I wanted to know more about it. Could you explain?" So he did, and they all became devotees too, and a whole group of them. So you don't know. People, there's good scope everywhere. You can preach everywhere. If you prana cheja shehi tu prachar, who's got life in him, he can preach. If you have faith in Krishna, begin to preach. And even if you don't understand everything, explain as much as you can. Don't concoct anything. If you don't understand anything, you ask the devotees who are more experienced in the philosophy, and they can explain to you. There's one system in the Gaudiya Math. They used to have this system that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to send everybody out. Go out every day begging, because sadhus, they're supposed to beg for their maintenance, because they're contributing to human society in the form of spiritual culture. So naturally people would say, "Well, why should we donate to you?" And then they'd have to preach to them. So people would ask questions. Now, if they couldn't answer the question, what the system was, that every day at midday after they came back, they would have Ishta Goshti. Nowadays in ISKCON, Ishta Goshti usually means a managerial meeting. But the actual meaning of Ishta Goshti, Ishta means that which is desirable, and Goshti means like a group. So it means coming together to discuss topics of Krishna. So they'd have Ishta Goshti, and then the devotees would talk about their preaching experiences. And they would say, "Well, I had such and such a question given to me. What is the answer?" And the more senior devotees would give the answer. So when they're going door to door and someone would ask a question, the young brahmacharis, they might say, "I don't know the answer. I'll bring it to you tomorrow." And the people were very impressed. Then they give a donation. And if they have more questions, then again they come with the answer. If they had more questions, they would say, "You're very interested. Please come to our mutt and meet our sannyasis and you'll get the answer." We have quite a few questions coming. That's very nice. I think over this 3 days I'll be here, it'll be very nice if we can have many questions, because many of you may have many queries and doubts and things you want clearing. So, let me read this out. "If I go to the university with Tilak, everybody would stare at me and laugh. Should I pretend that I don't see them?" The thing to do is just act as if it's completely normal. There's no problem with me. I'm just normal. If you think there's something wrong with you, then others will too. But if you think, "Well, I'm dressed in tilak," of course I'm dressed in tilak. All these funny people here, you can stare at them. You don't have tilak on. Krishna will protect you. Maybe you know that story Prabhupada told, that there was one factory in which all the workers were Vaishnavas, and they used to come to work with tilak. Even now in South India, especially in South India, in other parts of India also, you'll find many people wear tilak. They may be office workers or whatever, they wear tilak. They may be Vaishnava, it may be Shaiva tilak or whatever. So in this factory, they were all Vaishnavas. And then one Muslim took over the factory. And he told everybody, "From tomorrow, no one should wear tilak." So the next morning, two men came to work, still with tilak. Then the new Muslim boss said, okay, these two men, they can wear tilak, no one else should wear tilak, because they are convinced. They are the real devotees, they can wear tilak. The same thing, I see many of our devotees, they're in the temple in devotee clothes and they have to go outside to buy a liter of milk and they put on their jeans and take off their tilak. You don't have to do that. How will that people ever get used to us if we're always hiding? They'll get used to us if they see us in devotee dress. After some time they'll think it's normal. Just like nowadays so many people are... You see, when this movement was starting, people thought it was very strange that people were dressed in clothes like this. They used to say, why are you wearing orange bed sheets? And what's that paint on your nose and all that kind of thing. But nowadays, in much of the world, many of the places you go like this, and people, they just take it as completely normal because they've seen our devotees. People who are 20 years old, when they were 5 years old, they used to say our Harinam on the street. So they knew from the young age. Plus anyway, the whole society is much more open. Those days, people were very conservative when this movement started, but now the way we dress, and it's nothing. You see these punk rockers, and we're just normal compared to them. We look quite conservative compared to them. So anyway, be a little bold for Krishna. So when I finish school, I'll become a professor. In our school, it isn't wanted that professor of Slovenian language talk about Krishna. So you may not talk about Krishna directly in your college if you're going to get thrown out from the college. But you'll have opportunities to preach. That's what I was saying. You may have to be a little diplomatic. All right, and there are lots of questions I already took from you, so we'll have more time as the days go on. How do you say it to others now if you haven't done so far? I can't understand this question. Number two, what if the authorities are very much against Krishna consciousness? I'm not sure. Does that refer to school authorities? Or it may be. Well, like I say, you have to take every situation as it comes. If the school authorities are against Krishna consciousness, you may have to go a little bit underground, like Prahlad Maharaj did. He was preaching when his teachers went out. They became very angry at him. But he went on with his Krishna consciousness, and in the end, he succeeded. The point is that we have to stick to our Krishna consciousness. If you're more bold, you can go on preaching, even if everyone's against you. But anyway, you have to go on with your practice. You may not announce to everybody, but if the authorities are very much against Krishna consciousness, then definitely at some point, okay. If the authorities are very much against Krishna consciousness, then even if we're not promoting our Krishna consciousness, if they're so demoniac, then there will be some oppression or difficulty, just like we don't want to eat the food that they want us to eat or whatever. So that we just have to face it. The point is, we can't give up our Krishna consciousness. We can have, just like Mahatma Gandhi, non-violent, non-cooperation. This first question, whoever wrote this, it could kindly be rewritten so I can understand it. Yeah, please, you can give it. Како да се надружим со нов актер, ако со него проводим 8 сати шоти ден на едно место, How can we not associate? What is that story Prabhupada told that once a monkey jumped on a log in the river. Then he saw the log was a crocodile. So then the crocodile went away with him. And the monkey said, "Where are you taking me?" He said, "I'm taking you to a family home. I'm inviting you home for a meal. You are the meal. We're going to rip your heart out and enjoy it." So the monkey said, the monkey was a little intelligent, said, "But I left my heart on the riverbank. Why don't we go back and get it?" And the crocodile said, "Okay." And he went back and the monkey jumped off and didn't go back. So Prabhupada said that we may have to come together with non-devotees, but we shouldn't give them our heart. That means we may not associate with them very intimately. You see some people, even among non-devotees, you see some people who are very reserved, isn't it? They don't mix up with others very much. They just keep themselves to themselves. So, devotees also, we don't have to get into discuss. What will they discuss? What they saw on TV last night? What is the latest fashion? Michael Jackson is coming to Slovenia. These are the things they will discuss. So we don't have to discuss these things with them. You're not obliged to. And people may think you're unsociable. Let them think that. It's better that people think that you are unsociable rather than you socialize with them and you lose your Krishna consciousness. Yes, so many questions. I feel so a little bit fun. Sadhana. To do what? To do what? To enjoy life, yeah. No, well, that's the thing is, yeah. But there's no real question of sadhana if you're going out to enjoy at night. Sadhana means the practice by which we become spiritually advanced. And if you're, that means you're saying they can become Krishna conscious, but they haven't. They're not at that stage where we're talking about them becoming devotees. They're not convinced. No, you can't. That's true. No, you shouldn't also go out to try and catch them. The thing is that our preaching, we have to see who is the best candidate. We shouldn't spend all our energy on someone who's not very interested. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, just like on the battlefield, the doctors are there. So the doctors, they're overloaded with work because every second someone's getting shot and wounded or killed. So the doctors, they can't treat everybody. So they treat those who are less injured. Because those who are less injured, they can quickly and easily be treated and go back to the fight. Whereas those who are more injured, you may spend a lot of time on them, on one person, and even then they may not survive, and even if they survive, they'll be too crippled to do anything. And in the meantime, those who are less injured, they'll become worse conditioned. So it makes sense in such a condition to treat those who are less injured. So in the same way, we have the whole world to preach to. So it is best to concentrate our energies on preaching to those who are more favorably inclined and ready to take up Krishna consciousness, so that we can bring them in, and then they can preach to others, and we can expand the network of Krishna consciousness in this way. But if we try to preach to people who are attached to grossly materialistic life and who are not very much inclined to change very quickly, then our preaching may not be very effective. So naturally, our friends, our family, we tend to feel somewhat attached to them. But we should see from a broader perspective that what is the usefulness of my preaching. It may be in such a situation that if you try to preach to such people, that because you yourself may not be so strong and they're strongly convinced of the necessity to eat meat, drink wine, have illicit sex and gamble, that they may pull you in. When it's not a very nice example, but it's a proverb, it's a Bengali proverb. When you go fishing, don't get wet. You should pull the fish out, not that the fish pulls you in. So, yes, that is a common problem all over the world. Who said that? In the college itself, they say it. They teach you that. Medical, you want to translate? Yes, some medical opinion is that it's harmful, another medical opinion is that it's good. There is a book, The Benefits of Celibacy or something like that. I have it on disc if anyone wants it. You have it? Yeah. So that's written by Western doctors who have never heard of Krishna consciousness. It was written before Krishna consciousness came to the Western world, I believe. Well, this idea that celibacy is harmful, that's coming from our dear Sigmund Freud. The fool and rascal. Well, at least he said it's psychologically harmful because you're restraining yourself and this and that. Now, definitely this is a problem, especially, well, because, to a large extent, because of Freud, the idea that there should be conservatism in dealings between the sexes, which was pretty much as part of the Western world as it was in India or Islam or anywhere. I mean, our grandparents' generation, they didn't mix up all boys and girls like this, and there was no, and not no, but there were a lot of social restrictions on sex before marriage, and divorce was practically unheard of, and there was conservatism in dealings between the sexes because it was understood that the sex impulse is very powerful, and as Lord Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, if it's not channeled into dharma virudha bhutashi kamasmi bharatarshava, sex like Krishna says, which is engaged for his service, for producing Krishna conscious children, that is a representation of Krishna. But unbridled sex desire, that is the cause of fall down. It's the cause of all moral principles being lost, is the cause of loss of character in every way. And so Freud, he said that all these sexual taboos, they are the cause of all our psychological problems. Actually, it's around the other way. the more you indulge in, the more you increase your lust, the more crazy you become. And we're seeing that in the modern age. There's all kinds of crazy, and people are actually more and more becoming crazy, and one of the reasons is because lust is being promoted more and more. And in the colleges, we'll find the young boys and girls mixed up in a very free way, joking and laughing, and every dealing among materialistic people, any dealing between male and female, even they may be married or whatever, it's always got sexual overtones. It's always there. And the boys are, the men are always thinking, what are the girls thinking? How they're very conscious of their physique and how they're dressing and their hairstyle, and the girls also, their makeup and everything. So the whole atmosphere is saturated with is what time's the iPhone? Oh, that's no. The whole atmosphere is saturated with lust. Do we have time to answer it at all or not? I have 6:57. I have 6:58. Well, this is a big subject. It can't be finished in 2 minutes. Okay, well, now Croatia is a democratic country, so maybe we should take the vote. Instead of Tito here giving the order. What should we do? We'll all have dancing and chanting? Okay, dancing and chanting, and we'll